Today we'll be talking from the book of Daniel chapter 2, and we'll be keying on the verses from verse 27 to 35. And it reads in the King James Bible. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise man, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed that what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, but no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Amen. Would you please go with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so very much for all that you've done, that all that you're doing. Lord, thank you for another day and another opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us search the scriptures as you've told us. Let us search the scriptures that we might know the things that you would have us to know and see the things that you would have us to see. Lord, I pray that as I speak these words, that hearts will come under conviction, that someone will say, "What must I do to be saved?" And that the saints of God are strengthened in their Christian walks, that we might be able to glorify you with all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the book of Daniel, let's talk about what's next. Let's talk about what's next. You can scarcely turn on your television set and not see somebody somewhere talking about the future. They have all this speculation about what's going to happen in the future, what's going to take place in the future. I don't know how many shows I have watched on Nostradamus. None of it did Nostradamus any good. He was wrong on almost everything he said. And every now and again, he would get something that was close to right. And people would go, "Oh, man, he's a great prophet." Nostradamus, the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar has predicted in the year 2000. It's 2012 for the Mayan calendar. We're all supposed to be dead by now, y'all. The earth is supposed to be vacant. When the calendar year turned to 2000, all the computers were supposed to shut down. The world was going to go crazy. Nobody would survive. But that was all the prognosticators of the people who were talking about what was going to happen in the future. But then after it doesn't happen, they disappear. And young folks are constantly asking me, "Well, Pastor, what about the Illuminati? What about the Masons? Don't they know the future? Don't they control the future?" No. Absolutely not. television shows about the secret societies of America, the things that you don't know, the things that are shaping the future as though man has control over his future. And God says, you can't even add one cubit to your stature. That means you can wish and hope and pray all you want to wish and hope and pray, and you cannot add not one inch to the size of your body. You came here because God brought you here, and you'll move forward because God will move you forward. Illuminati, Masons, whatever it is, other than God, they do not control the future. But what God has said to us clearly throughout the Bible, now this today we happen to be primarily in the Old Testament, and I'm going to be covering pretty much all of Daniel chapter 2, but I'm going to kind of capsulize it, but those verses I gave you is primarily where I'm coming from. But God has said in his word, and you've read it, I'm sure you've read it, that you might know, that you might know. We ask you to come to church, that you might know. We ask you to read your Bible, that you might know. We ask you to come to Sunday school, that you might know. We ask you to come to Wednesday night, that you might know. Paul says, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant. And I think there might be a little thing on the side that says, unless you want to be. I would not have you be ignorant of the word of God. If you want to know what's next for this world, why don't you go and check with the one who knows the beginning from the end? He gives the information freely. He says, because I want you to know. What takes place here in this chapter is King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was, according to the word of God, the most powerful king to ever rule on the face of the planet. Solomon was the richest, the wisest. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful king of the entire history of mankind. And he was a Gentile, by the way. Nebuchadnezzar was not a Jewish. He was an unbeliever. He was a Gentile. We'll get to that later on about his belief system. But God proclaimed him to be the most powerful king. He had absolute rule over everything and everybody. And from the time of Nebuchadnezzar on down to today, no king, no ruler has had the absolute rule as Nebuchadnezzar did over the entirety of mankind. When he spoke, you either lived or you died. That was it. And as we learned last week, because of the rebellion of his people, he had put them into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, a Gentile king. Not only was Nebuchadnezzar the most powerful king who ever lived, he was also one of the most ruthless kings who ever lived. And we're going to see that here in a little bit. But as we proceed through today, we're going to talk about searching for answers. We're going to talk about the dreams revealed. And we're going to talk about the interpretation or what's next. Let's start here at the beginning of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. We start off with Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar, this is his second year in power. And it's important that you understand that this is his second year, because you're going to see here in a little bit where he calls on Daniel, and Daniel's asking him, what's the hurry? What's because you'll see. Now, when the most powerful man on the planet has a dream that gives him trouble, you can rest assured everybody else is going to have trouble. That's just the way it is. And Nebuchadnezzar, he is troubled because he's had this dream, this vision, something that came to him in the night. And I don't know about you guys, but I've had dreams, and sometimes when I'm in the middle of the dream, it's so vivid and so clear, but when I wake up, It's like, and that was even before I turned 60. So I'm like, man, what is this? What is this? And this is, I believe this is what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream, and it was a terrible dream. It was, he was shook up. And so what did he do? He called all the wise men. He called all the Chaldeans, the sorcerers, the magicians, the astrologers. And each one of these category of men, the reason that they have a different name for each one of these category of men is because they each one had like a little specialty. Some of them were good with enchantments and potions, and some of them dealt with astrological charts. Do you realize, even at this day, in this time, the Babylonians, they were so good at charting the stars, because they worshiped the stars. So they were so good at charting the stars that even back then, one of their top astrologers, he charted a calendar year within a six-hour period. He could tell you the 365 days in the calendar year. This is thousands of years ago, y'all. So when we look at this, we see the sorcerers, the magicians, the Chaldeans. Don't be thinking, oh, these ignorant people. Superstitious, yes. Ignorant, no. But they were the wisest of the wise. They were the top theologians, because all this stuff, since they worshiped the stars, you might as well say this was their religion as well as their science. And so, kind of like the earth people today. The people who are going to save planet Earth. People who have Earth Day. Yeah, I'm talking about them. People have Earth Day. The people who have Earth Day, who will starve you to death so they can save the planet. Nothing's new under the sun, y'all. Nothing's new. People who worship the creation instead of the creator. Nothing new under the sun. These Chaldeans and these magicians, they had power. We like to think of them as a sideshow or something like that, but they had power. Turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 7, verse 11. These sorcerers, these magicians, and you have to ask yourself, before you dismiss this as myth, fairy tale, and whatever, you have to ask yourself, why do so many people believe in the zodiac and the this and the that and the magicians and they go to witchcraft? Why do so many people believe in it if it's all fake? Because it's not all fake. That's why people believe in it. It's not from God, but it is not all fake. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 11, here's a situation where Aaron had thrown down his rod. Because Aaron was working for God, and God had empowered Aaron. And Aaron threw down his rod on the ground. And the Bible tells you that then the sorcerers of Pharaoh threw down their rods, and they became serpents. They became real serpents because they have power. When I talk to parents, it's a little bit past now, but there was a big series called Harry Potter. That series of books, those movies, sold like nobody's business. And you know what they glorified? Sorcery. Turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Back here in the Old Testament. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12. And it reads, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancy. Our necromancer." Verse 12, "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee." Whoa. What, you mean the thing that we send our children to for entertainment? You mean the books that we buy for our children and say, oh, it's nothing. It's no big deal. The movies that we pile money on top of money on top of money so that our kids can go and be taught the tricks of the trade. Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's only pretend. What a great lie of Satan. It's only pretend. If it's only pretend, why does God tell you don't get involved in it? If it's only pretend. God does not prohibit you from something that does not exist. These sorcerers, these Chaldeans, these magicians, these were the people that the king would go to for his wisdom. And what you got to find out about these people when God says they're an abomination to him, what you have to find out is when these people tell you something that's in contradiction to what God tells you, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. I'm going to give you a case in point right now. How many of you have ever heard the term climate change? Climate change. Before that, before they changed it, they used to call it global warming. You familiar with global warming? I'm telling you about what's coming next. Folks have been sounding the alarm. Oh, the weather is going to turn upside down. The crops are going to burn up. Everything's going to become a desert because climate change and global warming. And you're not even concerned about it. You're just a naysayer. You just got your head in the sand. Can't you see what's happening to the world? When it rains a lot, it's because of climate change. When it gets cold, it's because of climate change. When it gets hot, it's because of climate change. What's not because of climate change? In the Bible, in Genesis 8:22, see, Nebuchadnezzar went to his worldly people for information. Too many of us go to worldly people for information. Before you get all shook up and wound up about climate change, and see, because when you're worried about whether the earth is going to survive, you don't worry about salvation for other folks. And our job is to be concerned about the salvation of other folks. Here's what God says in Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22. Listen to this. This is a promise that God made to Noah. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. God is saying to us, stop listening to the Chaldeans and the sorcerers and the magicians and the soothsayers. And if you want to know what's next, come to me. I'll tell you what's next, because you get off focus and you start marching and holding signs and banners about crazy stuff. About stop climate change. Stop. If the planet goes away, which is not going to do, aren't you more concerned with your brother or your unsaved cousin? And your unsaved neighbor? Aren't you? Don't you have a greater love for them? And that's all this stuff is designed to get your mind off of what God tells you to have your mind on. And what God tells you to have your mind on, they deny. God said there was a flood. The magicians, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers said there was no global flood. God says the earth is going to continue. The weather is going to continue. And the soothsayers and magicians say, no, it's not going to continue. Whatever God says is, they say isn't. Whatever God says going to be, they say won't. And the whole idea is to get your mind and my mind off of what God has in store for us next. Nebuchadnezzar told these men, he said, I dreamed a dream. He said, the dream shook me up. It really shook me up. And he says, but in order for me to be sure, I want you to interpret the dream. And in order for me to be sure that you're really telling me the truth, I'm not even going to tell you the dream. He said, I want you to tell me the dream. And then once you tell me the dream, then I'm pretty sure that you can give me the proper interpretation thereof. And look at the incentive that Nebuchadnezzar gave him. Nebuchadnezzar, like I said, he was the most powerful king who ever lived. And he's also a very ruthless man. Nebuchadnezzar said, here's some, let me give you some, let me give you some something that will help you it'll help you get moving, give you some motivation. He said, if you don't, if you, I think this is called negative reinforcement. If you do not give me this dream and the interpretation thereof, I will. In verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, he says, I will cut you in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. See, in America, we find that, Congress and the president and Senate, they may be ruthless and they may do some really bad stuff, but cut me in pieces and make my house a dunghill? Nebuchadnezzar didn't threaten. He didn't do idle threats, y'all. The Bible tells us that with Zedekiah, when he first took the Jews into captivity, he took King Zedekiah. And as he was bringing Zedekiah to Babylon to take him into captivity, the Bible says that he stood all of Zedekiah's sons up in front of him. And then he slaughtered each one of his sons. And then he cut out Zedekiah's eyes. So the last thing Zedekiah saw was his sons being slaughtered in front of his eyes. Nebuchadnezzar didn't give idle threats. He said to the Chaldeans, the sorcerers and the soothsayers, he said, if you don't do what I told you to do, I will cut you to pieces and I will turn your house into a dunghill. So, of course, the sorcerers are saying, we can't... But King, wait a minute, this is too hard. They told him, they said, but King, nobody knows the future. You know, nobody can tell you that. This is too hard. We can't tell you something that you don't give us any kind of hint what it's about. I would have told him to turn on the History Channel, and then they could have found out what's next on the History Channel. See, they could have watched Nostradamus or something like that, but I don't think that would have worked. But anyhow, they said, we can't, nobody can do that, King. They said, nobody can do those things. And the king says, well, I tell you what, you got to do it. You got to take care of it. And then they said in verse 11, chapter 2, verse 11. I'll start with verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Amen. See when the soothsayers and the scientists and the magicians, when they finally run out of answers, or shall I say, when we run out of answers, see, because we go running to everybody else. We get into a situation, we get into a circumstance, and we go running. First thing you do is go on your Facebook and put your business out there in the street like somebody out there really cares and really knows, okay? And you say, girlfriend, I got this situation, I got that situation. Hey, buddy, I got this situation, I got that situation. What should I do? You're calling a soothsayer. You're calling a Chaldean. And you're asking them for information. You're asking somebody who's just as lost as you are, and you're asking him for wisdom. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. My daughter showed me Facebook the other day. I don't do Facebook, y'all. She took me on Facebook. I like to fell out. I could not believe what people would put on Facebook. And proud of it. And many of them name the name of Christ. These men told the king, they said, nobody can give you. I thought this. See, when you look at this in retrospect, this is a great endorsement for God, because even though they didn't know there was one true and living God, they said, nobody here can give you this answer. You know what? God agreed with them, because God, the Bible says that Jesus took on flesh. He took on flesh because he knew that we didn't know. We prayed to God, the Jews prayed to God, but we never really could know God personally because God is so high. God is so high. That's a command that has so many different legends about who God is. And you talk to everybody that, oh, well, God is this and God is that. So the Chaldeans didn't know, but they knew that they couldn't do it. And God knew that we couldn't do it. And God looked down upon us. And the Bible says his son took on flesh and he came down here to dwell among men because I wanted to know what's next. I wanted to know about salvation. He came here so that he could show us what God is like in the flesh. If you want to know what the Father in heaven is like, all you got to do is look at the Son, because only the Son can show you who the Father is like. If you want to know what's going to happen in the future, you got to go to your Bible. You have to go to the one who knows the beginning from the end. So the Bible tells you that in verse 12, even though they told the king that they could not possibly give him the answer, and nobody on earth could not possibly give him the answer, he said, well, I'm going to make good on my promise to you. He said, I told you, if you don't get this thing for me, I'm going to cut you in pieces and I'm going to make your house a dunghill. It says that he sent out the order, the king sent out the order, that all of the magicians, all the sorcerers, all the Chaldeans were to be executed. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, I want you to think about what we talked about last week. We talked about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the four Hebrew boys. We talked about them. And last week, we talked about how Nebuchadnezzar had given them a three-year college course. I call it a college course. But he said, for 3 years, I want you to feed them my stuff, and I want you to teach them all the wisdom of Babylon. Well, this is 2 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign when he has the dream. Daniel doesn't get out of school till 3 years after, from the time he first met Nebuchadnezzar. So you have this 1 year gap where Nebuchadnezzar has this dream and he's troubled. He's furious. And now you have about a year later when he has given the Chaldeans all this time to answer the story for him. And the word comes to Daniel that the king is getting ready to execute all of the wise men, which included Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by the way. He says, I'm going to execute all of the wise men. And Daniel says, why so hasty? But see, it wasn't hasty because it had been troubling Nebuchadnezzar for a full year where he couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. He was on edge because he had this horrible dream and nobody could tell him this dream. And he wanted to know this dream and he wanted to know the interpretation of this dream. The Bible says, when Daniel found out that what was troubling the king, that he wanted to get the answers to what's next, he wanted to know what the future was going to hold, Daniel sent word to the king. He said to the guard, he said, go tell the king, if he'll give me a little bit of time, I'll give him the answer. The wisest people on the planet, the Chaldeans, the sorcerers, the magicians, the astrologers, all the wisdom of men, and like I said, just because it was old time, don't think they were ignorant men. They were superstitious men. They were not stupid people. We like to think of ourselves being all high and mighty and everything else, but you've watched those shows on the pyramids. All those ignorant people built those pyramids. But we're so much smarter than they are. And the Bible tells us that not only did they build a pyramid, the Bible says that they built a tower. They built a tower, that they were going to build a tower up to heaven. And God himself said, if I don't come and stop them, he said, they'll be able to accomplish whatever. Wait, don't think of them as ignorant, y'all. See, we like to puff ourselves up. No, these were not ignorant people. These were the brightest of the brightest. And they put their hearts and their minds to it. And they wanted to try to get the answer for the king, but they could not get the answer, no different than any unsaved, heathen, ungodly man today can give you an answer as to what's coming next. They can tell you what they think. Watch, you know, when I watch that History Channel, it's just, I mean, everything is just doom and gloom and the earth is going to be vacant and the animals are going to run wild and oh, it's just so horrible. But they don't know. And it takes your mind off of the things that you need to know. Daniel said, tell him that I'll give him an answer. But look and see what he does first. In chapter 2, verse 17, look at what Daniel does. This is some instruction for all of us as saints of God. Look at what Daniel does. It says, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. When you got something going on that you really can't figure out and you really, really, really need help, take it to the Lord in prayer. And when you take it to the Lord in prayer, call a couple friends. Don't call somebody who's going to put your business out in the street. Call a friend and ask somebody to pray with you and pray for you. This right here, this is just a little prototypical thing for us. And if you don't have any godly friends, you need to start. You need to start. You need to find somebody who can be here or encourage you. Even though you got the Holy Spirit living in you, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. But every now and again, you need somebody to just hold your hand. Every now and again, you need somebody to just rub you on your back and say, it's going to be all right. And here these guys are. Now don't forget, I told you, Nebuchadnezzar does not play. And so now Daniel and his guys, they get the word. And by the way, y'all, these are teenage boys. These are teenage boys. These are boys whose mama and daddy put something in them that would sustain them in the midst of a horrible trial. Mothers, fathers, while you have time, put something in your children. And you better put something that's going to last, because sooner than you know it, they're going to be out the house. And when they're out the house, unless you've put something in them, you're not going to be able to reach them. And you, not somebody else, you are going to be the cause of undue harshness on your own children. Now, after they get a certain age, the Bible says, hey, they can look at mama and they say, you know, mama didn't do too good a job with me. Okay, you know better, you do better. Oh, daddy was no good. He took off, he left me. Okay, you know better, you do better. So the Bible says, but parents, while you have the opportunity, put that godly influence in them. These boys' parents were most likely slaughtered with the rest of the Jews who were left in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar came in and took over. But they were a long way from home. They were by themselves. And the four of them got together and said, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And the Bible says they prayed and they asked God for the answer to the secret that had been puzzling all of the wise men of the world. The greatest wise man could not figure it out. And these four little Jewish boys, these four Jewish teenage boys got together and said, Lord, we need some help. We need some help, Lord. And the Bible says in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Amen and amen. And look what Daniel does. The Bible says that Daniel, when he got that word, that he'd start walking around saying, man, boy, Daniel, you sharp. Daniel, man, you just so smart. Look at you. You sat down, you studied. You and the boys, y'all got together, and we studied hard, and we figured out everything. No, the Bible says that Daniel immediately went into blessing God. And I always wondered, how do you bless God? You want to see how you bless God? Right here, Daniel shows you exactly how you bless God. Daniel said, verse 20, he starts chronicling God's attributes. He said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He says, God, because wisdom and might are his. He said, God, you're in charge of the times and the seasons. He says, God, you remove kings and you set up kings. See, a lot of folks in here, you shook up about who's going to be the next president. You shook up because who's going to be the next congressman? I want you to know, it doesn't matter. You do what you're supposed to do according to Scripture. God tells you to seek out godly men and righteous men to lead your country. He said, but ultimately, Daniel said, God,
you raise up kings. And God, you remove kings. God, you give wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. You reveal the deep and secret things, and you know what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with you. Daniel said, I thank thee and I praise thee, O God, for my fathers who have given me wisdom and might and has made known unto me, now that we are desired of thee, for those has now made known unto us the king's matter. He said, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I acknowledge your power. I acknowledge your glory. I acknowledge the beauty of your holiness. All too often we get down to say a prayer and we just say, thank you, Lord. I need this. I need that. I'm gone. Boom. See, Daniel's life was on the line, y'all. Our lives are on the line. We just don't know how close things are. We don't know how dangerous a world we live in. You don't realize that you could go to work one day in New York City and somebody will fly a plane right into your office. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know one day you might go sit down at a restaurant, somebody come in the restaurant right next to you, pull a pin and blow himself up and blow you to kingdom come. You don't know. So when you pray, make sure that you acknowledge God for who he is. Give him his glory. Let him know, God, I need everything you got. Lord, I know that there's nobody here who can tell me what's next but you. Lord, for you young ladies, Joker come, he approach you, he'd be talking all sweet and all smooth and everything. Say, Lord, will you really show me what this man is like? Will you show me what this man is really like? Because he can put on a nice act for a while. If you want to know what he's like, ladies, start talking about Jesus. Start talking about true love. Start talking about marriage. And, it ain't nothing but a piece of paper, you know. I really love you, baby. I really do. And I just always wonder why the girl don't say, well, if it's just a piece of paper, why don't we get it? If it ain't no big deal, why don't we do it? I just want to know, you know. But he start asking some hard questions, y'all. Because whatever he starts off with, right now he's on his absolute best behavior. He's on his absolute best behavior. And if you can't get him to do what you need to get done and he's on his best behavior, oh, heaven help you further on up the road. Boys, same thing. I'm praying, I pray for the girls to get godly young men. I pray for our young men to end up with godly women. If you meet a girl, you go to her house and say, how you doing? Hey, my name is so-and-so-and-so-and-so. I'm looking for Jezebel. No! 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 Run! Run! I know it might be her name. Her parents might think it's cute, but don't go looking for Jezebel, y'all. Or anybody who represents Jezebel. You know, Jezebel is just a representation of a female who is consumed with this world. She's consumed with this world. And the Bible says, if you want to know what's next, trust the Lord. Let's move on. Daniel blessed God because he said, Lord, you have given me this information. You have given me this wisdom. And now I know what King Nebuchadnezzar needs. King Nebuchadnezzar was searching for the truth. And now we get over here to Daniel chapter 27, verses 27 through 35, the ones that we open up our scripture with. And Daniel goes to the king and he says, King, he reminds the king, you went to the Chaldeans first. You went to the magicians first. You went and you sought out, you got online and you searched out for everything that this world could possibly give you. But even though you had a serious question, you had a hard question and you searched high and you searched low and nobody here on this planet could give you the answer. Can you say amen, King? He said, I know what I'm talking about, King. Nobody here can tell you what's going to happen next but the one who knows the beginning from the end. Nobody. And so Daniel said, nobody can tell you this dream. He said, but I got the dream for you, King. He said, I got the dream. He said, in fact, let me tell you exactly how it came down, Mr. King. He said, here's how it came down. One night, you were laying in your bed, just like so many of us, and you were wondering, what's going to come to pass? Raise your hand. Any of y'all ever just way up? Late? See, because most of the time we're so busy. And you know, busyness keeps us from really thinking about the things that we really should be thinking. But I'll ask y'all to show me, give me a show. But I remember when I was real young. In fact, I was in junior high school. And I had a horrible dream. I dreamed I came home and everybody's shoes were along by the front door. Everybody's shoes were by the front door. And I'm from a family of 8 kids and my mom and dad. So there's 10 people in this house. And I'm the only one in the house, which almost never, ever, ever happened. By the way, it was a 3-bedroom house. 1 bathroom. It got put indoors in 1959. But in my dream, I saw these shoes. And somebody said, everybody's dead. And I cried. And I remember wanting to say, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Any of y'all ever lay up in bed at night and say, what's going to happen? What's going to happen tomorrow? Today, this happened to me. My life is falling apart. What's going to happen tomorrow? Here's what you do. You take it to the Lord. You take it to the Lord in prayer because he's the only one. And Daniel is telling the king here, he says, King, this is not because I'm so good. This is not because I'm so smart. He said, everything that I'm getting ready to tell you came to me from the God who is in heaven. There is a God who is in heaven who knows. And not only is there a God in heaven who knows, look what Daniel says. He says in verse 28, he knows and he reveals. He says to those of you who know me, like Daniel and Hananiah, he goes, not only would I tell you what's going on, I tell you how it's all going to come down. If you want to know, saints of God, ask him. He says, if I died for you, he said, if I sent my son to die for you, what now do you think I'm going to hold back from you? What now do you think I'm not going to teach you? What now do you think I'm not going to tell you? I want you to know. I would not have you be ignorant. I want you to know. But he says, this God, unlike all the gods that the Chaldeans serve, unlike all the gods of the Hindu, the Buddhist, the Muslims, and all those other gods who can't even tell their people if they're going to heaven or not. If you got a God who can't even tell you whether you're going to go be with him in eternity, you got the wrong God. My God loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son. And he said, whoever believes that shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the first thing I needed to know. And Daniel says, there's a God who reveals these things to you. But you got to go. You got to humble yourself. You got to go to him. You got to humble yourself. And so Daniel says, he says to Nebuchadnezzar, he says, verse 29, he says, as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Daniel said, I'm not the one telling you, O king. He said, the God who reveals secrets, the God who's in heaven, he's the one who's given me this message. See, we don't take credit for the things that God does in our life. That's a bad move. So what you do is when God gives you something, when God blesses you with some money. Yesterday, we had one of the brothers over at the fellowship, and he's a dear friend of mine. And I thought he gave me something I'd never thought about. He gave me something I had never, ever thought about. People are always asking about tithing and doing stuff like that. But we believe that the Bible teaches you that you give as the Lord places it on your heart, as the Lord purpose in your heart. That's what we teach here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Well, my friend said, he said, well, you know, if you're trying to be strict on your tithing, he goes, you run into some problems. Because my friend's done, the Lord has blessed him. And he'll tell you, God has blessed him. He's done well. He's retired. He's like 55, 54 years old. The Lord has done well with him. And he's like, if you're going to try to tithe and be strict about it, you got to try to figure out, okay, now I tithed on the money I got the first time, but now I've got these investments, and they're giving me returns on my investment. So do I tithe off of my investment since I already paid. And I'm like, what a problem to have. I don't think I'm ever going to have that problem. But I never thought about that because I'm like, wow. So see, if you're trying to measure out what you give God, it don't work. You give as the Lord purpose in your heart to give. And by the way, that's what my friend said too, because he's got that gift of giving. So having said that, Daniel said to the king, he said, King, here's what the dream was. Here is what the dream. The dream is revealed. We had searching for an answer. Now we have the dream is revealed. He said, King, you saw this great image. It stood up in front of you. And this image, when you think of an image, you think of like an idol. It doesn't really say how big it was. It just says it was very, very impressive. And you have this image of this idol. And the Bible says, verse 31, this is one of the things that shook up the king. The king saw this, the idol, and he saw this thing. And the Bible says while he's dreaming this dream, the image stood up. When it says stood up, that means it stood up on its own power. Y'all, images, the idols don't stand up under their own power. That's why the king so shook up. He's the most powerful man on the planet. And he has an idol, an image of gold that stands up on its own. And he's looking at it. And he's like, man, this is horrible. And Daniel told him, Daniel said, but while you were looking at this terrible, powerful image, something else caught your eye. And he said, what you saw that caught your eye even more so than this terrible image was you saw a stone being cut out of a mountain without hands. How do you get a stone cut out of a mountain and no man put his hands to it? Now, here's where we get into prophecy and we get into Bible interpretation. I don't have time to tell you all, but I can tell you this. The Bible says that this stone represents Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had no beginning, had no end. He's like a stone cut out of the mountain. And Daniel said to the king, he said, you saw this idol in his head. The head was a fine gold. His breast and his arms were silver. His belly and his thighs of brass. His leg and his feet were of clay and part iron and part clay. And then you saw this stone, which was cut out the mountain, which was cut out without hands. And as terrible, as powerful as this image was, you saw this stone come and smash it, and overpower it. This stone that was cut, I'm telling you, see, the Bible says that this stone was Jesus Christ. And then Daniel says in verse 35, then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This stone represents, not only does it represent Jesus Christ, who comes onto the scene, and he dominates the world scene, and he crushes every earthly power that has ever come before him. And the Bible says that he starts off as a stone, but it spreads into a great mountain. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the teaching of Jesus Christ. Ask yourself, when people tell you, when people say, when they deny Jesus Christ, just be logical, y'all. Everybody that you know, almost everybody you know, they know the name Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was a powerful Greek ruler. They know the emperors of Rome. They know the kings. They know the pharaohs. They know the great generals of the world. But I want you to challenge them. I want you to challenge people when they tell you they don't believe in Jesus. They don't know all this Jesus is made up. I want you to say to them, if Jesus is made up, I want you to tell me how this man who never ruled a nation, how this man who never led an army, how this man changed the course of Western civilization. What did this one man do that all of Western culture, the dates on our calendars are based on the life and times of this man. What did this man do? He came onto the world scene like a stone cut out of a mountain, not made by hands. And Daniel went on, he told King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, Neb, he said, this is what the dream was. And Nebuchadnezzar, now he's got his attention. He's got his attention because nobody could tell him what the dream was. And Daniel says, here's what the dream was. And now I'm going to give you the interpretation of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar. And the king is listening with bated breath because Daniel is saying, See, when somebody tells you something that nobody else can tell you, they get your attention. You know you haven't told anybody and you know nobody can tell you. They got your attention. And so now he's standing there and he's listening to Daniel. And Daniel said, now I told you what the dream was. You were wanting to know what's coming next. Now I'm going to tell you. Straight from the word of God, the one who reveals all the secrets. And there's going to be a lot of things going on in the periphery. But brothers and sisters, listen to me when I tell you. These are the four main things that are going to take place. These are the kingdoms that are going to be here. And that's it. There'll be a lot of this going on. There'll be a skirmish. The Bible says there will be wars and there will be rumors of wars. But all that's just little skirmishes. Here is what God said he's doing next. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, that image that you saw that stood up on its own power, he said it had a head. He said it had a head made out of gold. King, that's you. You're the greatest power that God has ever put on the planet. He goes, King, that's you. And then he says, the next part of the body, going down the body, going down the image, he said the arms were made out of silver. He goes, King, that's the kingdom that's coming after you. That's not good news if you're king, huh? If you're the king and they tell you, you know, by the way, you ain't long for this situation. Somebody else getting ready to take over. But Daniel was telling him what was going to happen before it happened. He goes, the arms are made out of silver. And look, gold is what? The most expensive precious stone, precious metal you can get, right? Silver, just a little bit down the list, okay? He says, that silver that you see, that's the Medes and the Persians. That's the next folks who are going to conquer you. And as we go through the book of Daniel, you're going to see that. I love this book of Daniel because everything that God said came to pass. Boom, 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 boom. He said, those arms of silver, that represents the people who are going to conquer you and take over next, the Medes and the Persians. And he said, you go down a little bit to the belly and around here in the thigh area. He said, and it's going to be made out of brass, out of bronze. And he goes, that represents Greece. The next world. Now, don't forget, this all takes place long before Alexander the Great. This all takes place way before Rome even becomes a powerful nation. Daniel's telling the king what's going to happen next, way before it happens next. And what you're going to find out as we go through this scripture, starting in chapter 2, verse 46 to about chapter 7, and I can't remember where it stops. All this stuff is written in Aramaic, which is the language of the day, not Hebrew. It's written in the language of the day. It's like if somebody was going to write something today that they wanted the whole world to read, it would be in either English or French because those are the words of commerce. And that's God wants you to know. He wrote it in a language that the Gentiles would know because he didn't want you to be sitting around dreaming a dream and watching History Channel and saying, what's next? What's next? He said, I want you to read my book and I'll tell you what's next. He said, I'm going to tell you what's next. And he goes, you got Nebuchadnezzar. He's the head of gold, most powerful king. You got the Medes and the Persians. They're the arms. They're powerful. But look at the word Medes and Persian. They have to share power. Neb didn't share power with anybody. So the Medes and the Persians, they have to share power. And then the next kingdom that's going to come is going to be Alexander the Great. And we all know about Alexander the Great. Alexander died. He was like 33, 34 years old. I can't remember, Alexander was a bad dude. Alexander, he fought wars like nobody's business. Alexander was fleet of foot. He could hit people before they, in fact, Germany based their blitzkrieg warfare after the tactics of Alexander the Great. The German army during, the German Air Force during World War II, they came up with what they call the blitzkrieg, which is bomb after bomb after bomb, and you hit them fast, and you go from one city to the next city because they read Alexander the Great. Alexander would bam, 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 bam. But they said, but Alexander ain't going to last long, y'all. They said, there's going to come another kingdom after Alexander. And you look at the legs are made out of iron and miry clay. Now, iron is strong. It's strong, but if you mix clay in with it, it can be fragile at certain points. But iron is pretty strong stuff. And what God is telling Nebuchadnezzar, long before it comes to pass, there's going to be an empire called the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire is going to be strong. He said, they're coming. They're going to be strong. He said, but even though they're going to be strong, they're still going to have their limitations because they got that miry clay mixed in with them. But y'all understand, the Roman Empire lasted almost 1,000 years. Almost 1,000 years. And he told King Nebuchadnezzar, this is the interpretation of your dream. He says, Neb, you're the gold. The Medes and the Persians, they are the silver. The bronze and the brass are the Greeks that are to come. The clay and the iron, the miry clay and the iron, that's going to be the Roman Empire. He said, but you know what? I know what you really want to know about. Because you were watching that clay, and you were watching that iron, and you saw that image stand up, but something caught your eye out the side. And that something that caught your eye was a stone that came out of the rock, not cut by human hands. I told you, the Bible says that's a representation of Jesus. He says, Neb, you want to know what's next? If you want to know what's next, the great God has told you what's next. But I want you to know there's two futures. There's two futures for the people of this world. There's two futures. There's a future for those who take heed about this stone. It depends on what your future depends upon what you think and who you say this stone is. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. There's two futures. There's one for the saved, and there's one for the unsaved. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, he's talking about that stone. He says, wherefore, also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, here's the future for one group. Unto ye, therefore, which believe, he's precious. This stone that's cut out of the mountain without hands, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto all they were appointed. He said there's two futures depending upon what you believe and how you deal with this stone that Nebuchadnezzar saw cut. He saw it in his dream. And just like we know from history, we know that Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king, the most powerful king. We know that. Just like we know from history, the Medes and the Persians took over after Nebuchadnezzar came down. Just as we know from history, Alexander the Great took over for them. Just as we know from history, the Roman government took over after that. But the Bible says that stone hit that statue, hit that image, and it blew it to smithereens. And it said it became like the chaff from the wheat. If that stone is precious to you, the Bible says that's Jesus. And the Bible says if you believe that he came and died and rose from the dead, you shall be saved. If that stone is a stone of stumbling for you, if you just can't bring your mouth to say Jesus is the Son of the living God, Jesus, there's only one mediator between God and man. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. If you can't fix your mouth to say, if you can't confess that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, the Bible says that same stone, he goes, either you will humble yourself and you will fall upon this stone asking for mercy, or that very same stone that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the Bible says that stone will crush you. That picture that Nebuchadnezzar saw, then that stone came in and hit that image and just shattered it. Two futures. You want to know what's next? Go to your Bible. You want to know the answer for everything? Go to your Bible. He's a precious stone. His name is Jesus. And he died that you might have life. The Bible says that he wished that none should perish. You want to know what's next? Come to Jesus and I'll tell you. Amen. God bless you.